Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. Much like the Tennessee Titans this past week, you were in it the whole game yesterday on Jared versus Joe. Things looked good for a while, and at the end you just couldn't finish the job, couldn't get it done, and Joe gets the victory. A disappointing result for you yesterday, Jared.
You know, I was really surprised by the end result there. I thought that with Caroline asking about college basketball and Joe talking about his excitement to watch Alabama versus Arkansas, which nobody else in the greater tri-state area had any interest in, I really thought that, you know, I was going to pull this one through. But, you know, sometimes you just have to take the headset off, know you lost, allow the other team to take a knee and move on to next week.
Yeah, know that, like, because you don't like college basketball does not actually mean the rest of the world agrees with you.
I'm Team
Robbie,
Jared.
It's a good lesson for you in life.
I'm Team Jared.
So here's
Jared.
My theory on college basketball. My theory on college basketball is it's like baseball. If you have a team, you care about your team, but, like, in the regular season. But outside of that, nobody cares. And
okay, that's not me or Michelle. There's two of the three people sitting here.
Right, your team. And
no, I just said that's not me or Michelle. We like college basketball at large, but keep going.
And then I think the second thing is, unlike baseball, the actual tournament, everybody cares about that. Baseball, I mean, you know, if the baseball playoffs were in August instead of October where they were battling with football, I think more people would care. Kind of like the NBA. I think the only reason why anybody cares about the NBA playoffs is because there's nothing else going on. So but the NCAA tournament, people do care about that. As far as, like, the masses with college basketball, I mean, it's, you know, it's too boring.
Don't look at me. I'm Team Jared on this conversation.
Okay. And his team's top five in the country.
That's right.
Kind of sad.
So, Jared, as you look at the Titans, obviously a lot going on this week. I want to throw this question at you. As you look on the offensive side of the ball, who should be back on the offense next year for this group?
I think Aaron Brewer needs to be. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Honestly, it's a tougher question for me as to, like, who is actually a starter in the NFL as opposed to, like, Henry and Tannehill, I can tell you those are starters in the NFL.
For sure.
I think we could all agree on that. And if Ben Jones decides to play another season, he's a starter in the NFL. That's easy. I don't know if Nicholas Petit-Ferrer is a starter in the NFL. And he got worse as the season went on. I think some of that's probably a rookie wall. Some of it makes me think that he might not be that good. You know, if you're a good tackle, you don't go in the third round. Good tackles go with, like, the third pick. So, or at least tackles that are ready to play right away. So, you know, maybe Petit-Ferrer they still view as a starter. Maybe they flip him over to left tackle. I don't know. But I'm not a huge Nicholas Petit-Ferrer guy after last year. Chigakonkwo. I mean, everybody's going to tell me right now, I know the text line's going to tell me that Chigakonkwo should be the starting tight end next year. Where the season ended last week, he's not a starter. Like, he is not consistent enough, you know, in both sides of being a tight end to be a starter. You know, so Robert Woods. Is Robert Woods still an NFL-caliber starter? He makes a lot of money. Do you get him to take a pay cut? Do you even want him to take a pay cut? Just cut him. I don't know. So that's a really tough question you ask. I would say right now, looking at it, Derrick Henry comes back. Tannehill comes back. Ben Jones comes back. I think they need to re-sign Austin Hooper. I think they need to re-sign Nate Davis. Petit-Ferrer probably, because it's going to be difficult to find five new offensive linemen. But there's a lot of holes on offense.
Do you have a GM favorite here so far, Jared?
So I don't. And the reason I don't is because it's impossible to know what any of these guys do. Like Malik Boyd, for example, with the Buffalo Bills, was he in on their hiring of Josh Allen? I mean, their drafting of Josh Allen. Was he a part of it? Or was that a Brandon Bean thing, and Brandon Bean kept his opinions to himself because he didn't want it leaked out there? I know this. I know when Floyd was a general manager of the Titans, he told me that he never told anybody what he was thinking. he listened to what everybody else was thinking, and then he decided what to do, because if he started telling people what he was thinking, then all of a sudden, you know, Peter King and everybody else was going to have what he wanted. And so I don't know how much these guys do. Like Ian Cunningham of the Bears, he was in Philadelphia. Was he involved in the decision to go with Jalen Hurts? You know, was he involved in that process? I don't know. Was he kind of kept in the dark on it? So I don't know what these guys actually do. So I think it would be crazy for me to have a vote on who should be the general manager or not.
Wait. You didn't mention the presumed Jared Sillman favorite, Stretch, the genuine Titan. Why are you not mentioning Stretch in this?
I'm hopeful that I blocked that one, that by explaining how bad it was and exposing it to everybody, that Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans realized that was a bad idea.
There we go.
If that was the path Vrabel was getting ready to go down.
That's got to be it. That has got to be it.
That may have been my favorite answer you've ever given in the history of this program.
Thank goodness. We should all thank Jared, City of Nashville.
You should also thank me, Joe, for asking, you know, the real questions the other day. Sitting there, everyone's asking, like, these roundabout questions about Todd Downing. Finally, I was just like, are you bringing him back or not?
Again.
Why is it so hard, Joe, to ask in a press conference?
Again. It's amazing.
Are you bringing the offensive coordinator back?
What would we do without Jared? I don't know. You tell me, Robbie.
Oh, well, I don't know what we would do. I mean, Jared from Spring Hill on the text line right now says, Joe's about to get flustered on air again with Stillman on. Don't cry too much, JoJo. He's got the support of the people on the text line.
Delicate Joe. Delicate road.
All right, so Jared, as you look at this team right now, we've talked about the offensive side of the ball. How do you solve the wide receiver? Because as you pointed the wide receiver position, because as you pointed out, there's a lot of work to do on the offensive line. Is it simply via the draft that you want to add to the receiving group? Should the Titans be aggressive in terms of trying to maybe trade for a wide receiver? What would you do if you were the general manager to try to help out what was just a terrible wide receiving core this year?
So I think we have to, you know, this is going to sound like a coach speak answer, but I think it's one of those, like, keep all options open and then evaluate them as they come. I don't think this time last year, the Philadelphia Eagles, looking at their team with Devontae Smith on one side and the bust of Jalen Reagor on the other side, thought to themselves, well, we'll just go trade for A.J. Brown. I mean, you know, we'll just go get A.J. Brown. I don't think they thought that. And then ultimately, as the offseason progressed, we saw probably three of the top eight receivers in the league get traded. So we saw Tyreek Hill get traded. We saw Devontae Adams get traded. We saw A.J. Brown get traded. And so I think that that means that there's probably going to be somebody who's unhappy, some team that moves in a different direction, somebody who wants a contract and a team that doesn't want to pay it. And I don't know exactly who that person is right now, but just think about all the top receivers in the league. Stephon Diggs has already been traded. As far as, you know, a lot of high-end receivers get traded. So I just think it's something to keep your eye on. You know, with the 11th pick, that's real firepower now. Like, the 11th pick, and I'm not one of these people that was rooting to lose to get the 11th pick, but the 11th pick in the draft, I think that you've got a chance at a Quentin Johnston if you're sitting there at 11. I don't think, now he may be a great player, but I don't think after the way the last 2 years have gone, that the Titans would be interested in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, because the last thing I think they're going to do is draft more injured players. But with the 11th pick, you have to figure that three or four quarterbacks are going to go, which means now there's like six guys that go ahead of where the Titans pick. They probably, even if they stand pat at 11, if they're not looking for a quarterback, they probably will have a shot at one of the top receivers or one of the top offensive linemen. And by top offensive lineman, I mean tackles in this draft. And I think that's a really, really good spot to be in, that, okay, with that 11th pick, you can take your left tackle of the future if he's there, or you can take a wide receiver if he's there, and you also could use it in a trade. So I think that the 11th pick gives them options on what to do with the wide receiver position.
Okay, here's a hypothetical for you that I just thought of. We talked about earlier, and I'd actually love your take on this, Jared, because I love your takes on everything. Let's say Amy Adams Strunk hadn't made the goofy decision to fire John Robinson midseason, everything had played out exactly as it did, and we were sitting here now, let's go back to, you know, end of the season. Would you be saying right now that they should fire John Robinson?
I wouldn't, but if they fired him after losing seven in a row to end the season, and they had all the, you know, the injuries that they had, and they had the bad offensive line that they had, and if it played out exactly how it played out, I probably would think that Robinson would deserve to keep his job just because of all the winning. And I think that, I mean, in all fairness, again, if you're being, I don't like it when coaches get up there and say, you know, well, we were injured, but I do think it's fair to say that the injuries this season were a little ridiculous, and that any team, I mean, Kyle Shanahan went 6-10 when he got his entire team injured in 2020. And Sean McVay this year with his team, you know, they were terrible. Nobody there lost their jobs. So I would probably still be in defense of John Robinson, yes, but you'd have a lot better argument convincing me to fire him after they lose seven in a row and miss the playoffs than you did when they were 7-5 in the middle of the season.
Well, Jared, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us this morning. Better luck next time on Jared versus Joe. We're pulling for you.
That's okay. I feel good about myself. 65% of my Titans takes were correct this past year, and if I keep talking anymore, I'm going to sound like one of those guys, one of those handicappers that's like, I never lose. Yeah. Bet the Monday night game. Call 1-800-JARED right now. I'm not going to say that, but again, 65% in analyzing my big Titan takes of last year, so I'm really happy about that.
The modern-day Pete Axthelm.
Thank you, Jared. 65%. On the dot, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts, your reaction to Jared Stillman, and your thoughts on the Titans as well. More on that coming up next. NFL Wildcard Weekend is here, and the easiest way to get into the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. I've been telling you all week, I love the Bengals on the money line. I'm starting to love the Bengals minus the points as well. Joe Burrow over on passing yards. Ja'Marr Chase is an anytime touchdown scorer. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit tjandersonhomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll have Predators head coach John Hines coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us on the program. I think the him blocking the stretch hiring at GM and the 65% of the Titans takes being right this year are two of my favorite things he's ever said. I loved it.
Some great Sex Panther cologne yes. jokes on the text line.
Oh, yeah.
65% of the time, Jared is right every time.
Every time.
Michelle? Anchorman?
Yep, got it.
Yeah,
really?
Here's the thing. I've seen that movie. I just can't quote like you all can.
But yeah, but Sex Panther?
Paul
I'll
Rudd?
Try to be cooler, Road.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. Also, the other point here is, do you actually think that he actually believes he blocked the Titans?
I don't know.
Like, really? Like, it's funny to talk about and stuff.
Yeah.
But do you think he actually thinks that?
You know, I think
you
might.
Think it's possible.
I think
you
might.
We may need to help Jared.
I think you might. Oh, man.
It's a cry for help.
Got a lot of people talking about the 65% comment on text line.
So
a lot.
Yeah, he mentioned that yesterday, and I don't know. Did he like actually go through? Did he actually go through and like?
I think he did.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't hear it, but at the beginning of the show, he said he was going to.
Yeah. Hey, I'll give him credit.
I mean, if you're, yeah, I guess credit. Just the salary cap exists. I didn't even want to get into it in that thing. You know,
I almost brought it up.
I know,
I chose not to, just for you.
I'm just so glad that I heard Fitz get flustered about it yesterday too. It's like, dude, why?
Well, we're about to get into
the
more.
Car is on the road. Everything's going great, and then you yank the wheel.
I loved it. Thank you, Jared. Jared joins us every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock here on the program. I am going back to his point about where they're drafting. Last year was, I think we would all agree, the exception as it relates to the quarterback conversation. Now, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out with the quarterbacks this year, but the fact that one quarterback got taken in the first round last year and late in the first round at that was very surprising. So that's not typically how things go or have gone in the draft over the course of the past 20, 30 years. So you would assume, to Jared's point, that at least two – probably three quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time the Titans are picking at 11. So with that being said, you are going to have an opportunity, if you stand pat at 11, to draft a high-quality offensive lineman, or at least a highly ranked offensive lineman, a highly ranked wide receiver, whatever direction you want to go with that first pick, you're going to have a lot of options available to you. I still wonder, though, is that the route you should go and that route only to fix the wide receiver spot? We can talk about the offensive line. And there's a lot of work they got to do there. I said it yesterday. I mean, the receiving core is terrible, and they got to find a way to upgrade that, and in my opinion, upgrade it significantly. If you're bringing back Tannehill and if you're bringing back Derrick Henry, you got to upgrade the wide receiving core. I mean, there's no question about it. So are you going to do that via the draft and with maybe some smaller moves in free agency? Do you try to make a big trade? Do you try to make a big splash? I don't know, but whoever it is, the general manager and Mike Vrabel, whatever, I'd be really curious to know their strategy for wide receiver this offseason, because it's a joke right now.
Yeah, and it's we've gone through a little bit. First of all, like the free agency market is not good, and it's not a great draft either relative to recent drafts have been
right.
Loaded at receiver. Now, granted, you know, as we see people play out in the NFL, some of the supposed great receivers haven't been, but quite a few of them have panned out pretty well. Jared mentioned Quentin Johnston. I mean, he's the TCU receiver, very good player. And, yeah, that's a funny thing. I actually agree with almost all the football takes Jared had last segment. You know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I mean, he is a special talent. He also missed the year with a hammy, basically. And it's like, I mean, like it would be, of course, if Robinson was still GM, it'd be like, well, we know who the Titans are taking.
Yeah.
You know, but I would assume there would be probably even more. I would assume there'd be a little bit of a course correction to the point where you're even less likely than the average team to take someone like that now, right?
I would think so.
So, but it's a good point on the, you never know what might materialize with a trade or something like that. But, yeah, there has to be something major. But also, something major has to be Treylon Burks becoming.
No question.
Like we talked about Malik Willis earlier on the show. Big offseason for him because he's trying to make himself a QB2 and he's trying to stick with his team and have a future in the league. Big offseason for Treylon Burks because they are absolutely dependent on him next year, whatever the situation is. Unless you are just fanking and you're like, well, if everybody stinks, great, you know. But I think Vrabel's signing up for that. So that he's got to be a huge part of the answer. Can you get someone, well, frankly, can you get someone to the point where he would be a good two potentially? But that's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can't expect a rookie to come right in and be your number one receiver. But you got to have at least two guys on the outside who are plus playmakers. And he's right now, I think, the only one on the roster who could possibly be that.
Totally agree. And as far as Jared's thoughts on Okonkwo, got some people upset about that on the text line of Jared saying he's not a starter. I would say this. I think it's clear when the ball is in his hand that he is one of the top playmakers they have offensively. I mean, I don't really think anybody can argue that. I will say there's a reason, and we've talked about it. For whatever reason, the Titans didn't play him a ton this year. I mean, he wasn't – I mean, what was it, the Dallas game where he had 26% of the snaps? I mean, it's 2 weeks ago. He had 26% of the snaps out there. And you think back to the Derrick Henry run against Jacksonville, and it's Chigakonkwo with a holding penalty. You know, we've talked about chipping and staying in there, trying to help Dennis Daly and some of the things that Conquo's done on that. Now, I will say, yeah, one play, and I thought it was a great design by Todd Downing. And executed,
don't say that.
Thought it was executed pretty well by Conquo.
It was
where
Tim Kelly.
It was like the full chip, and then he breaks off and catches the pass. They were down by their own goal line when he did that. So
it's so funny you said that, because right at that moment I turned to TD and Buck. I was like, that's a good Todd Downing play. Mm-hmm. And TD, of course, is like, nah, it's probably Tim Kelly, yeah. Which is like the running joke whenever they have a good play.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. But I say all that to say, what are your thoughts on Chigakonkwo, and I guess maybe the step they need him to take this offseason?
Let me go back in time and do a Jared impersonation from, like, I don't know, like the 2019 season.
Okay.
Jonnu Smith sucks. He sucks. He's never going to be good. He sucks. Okay.
Very good.
It might have been 2018. I don't know. And then, of course, Floyd, like, Jared. You know, I mean, I totally disagree with Jared that on both sides of being a tight end that he's deficient. He's not good enough as a blocker. And the holding call was devastating, and there was no chip, there was no dip, there was nothing. It was just, here, Dennis Daly, and he slingshot him into the quarterback. He's got to work hard on being a blocker, but isn't that totally expected? I think he's on course, and he's got to work on it and got to get better. I think he's got all the right stuff. I think he's going to be really good. So, yes, Jared is, I think, off base on that one. Also, someone says in the text line, he said Chig's no more than a special teams player, and then Jared got on the text line and said, Jared did not say that. And then it says, you know, hyphen Jared. Get off the text line, dude. Go work out. Leave us alone. This is our show.
737-1025. People trying to take us off the air everywhere. Just a barrage of people getting
Jared wants us to be 2 hours ASAP. 2 hour show.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are scheduled to be joined by Predators head coach John Hines coming up here in the next few minutes. Preds in Toronto last night. They fall 2-1. At the hands of the Maple Leafs. They'll be back at it tonight as they take on the Montreal Canadiens on the second half of a back-to-back. Close out the road trip, and then coming back home on Saturday. And, Joe, I talked about this yesterday. The schedule, very condensed at the moment for the Nashville Predators. You had the back-to-back last week with Carolina and Washington, the road trip throughout this week. Back-to-back right now that you're dealing with. Another back-to-back coming up on Monday. You know, from Toronto last night until next Tuesday, that's 5 games and 7 days for the Nashville Predators. That's a whole lot of hockey.
That is. And that thing is, when you're playing well, you're good with that, right?
Yeah.
You're playing well, and you've got two goalies playing well. Maybe a third.
Mm.
Maybe a third playing well.
Maybe we'll see. See what happens.
With the debut.
On that front.
Which would be a little early.
That would be a little early, but we'll see what happens on that front. And the other part of that is, you know, after the game tonight, you have, I believe, doing some quick math, 6 of your next 7 at home before the All-Star break. So 6 of your next 7 games at home after tonight before the All-Star break. So you're talking about an opportunity there. And by the way, some of those games, you got St. Louis in there on the road, the Kings at home, Calgary at home, Winnipeg at home. Those are some big games against teams that, in some of those cases, you're fighting directly against for a playoff spot as you move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a ton of, and you know, Poyle said this, the less angering part of the interview for David Poyle, about, you know, how so much of those games are ahead, which is how it should be. And that's exactly how the league should be set up, so that these teams can figure it out amongst themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And then after that, you know, I know it's hard to think about it that way or this way, but this is the reason I asked Poyle about it the other day. Like, the trade deadline, it's not that far away. Like, it's March the 3rd. So that seems like forever, but all of a sudden you get through the next 2 weeks if you're the Predators. You basically have a week off, a week and a half off after that because of the All-Star break. And then all of a sudden it's February the 7th when you're back and you're less than a month away from the deadline after that. Like, the decisions and kind of trying to determine which way you're going to go is coming up pretty quickly for the Predators. I mean, they're at the halfway point tonight. I think tonight is their 41st game of the year. So you're halfway through the season at the end of the game tonight, and you're getting pretty close to having to make a decision. I mean, look, I think just first blush at it, Joe, I think it's going to be what it typically has been for the last couple of years with the Predators, is they're right there on the line, and I don't think selling is going to be much of a consideration for the Predators. Just my guess, especially when you're playing this well.
Yeah, they're playing well right. Yeah, right now they're playing well. So, I would tend to agree. I don't necessarily agree that should always be the case.
I agree with that. There's a lot of agreeing going on.
Agreeing and disagreeing.
Now, one thing that is interesting, and we've not talked about this a lot this year with the Predators, but you still have Dante Fabbro, who, by the way, last week was a healthy scratch again for a couple of games. Now, he's been back in there. He played again last night. But there is a decision coming up. And I said it to begin the year. I feel even stronger about it now. Once you went and got Ryan McDonagh, there's no way Fabbro and Carrier are both going to be on the team next year. It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to have McDonagh on the team, Ekholm on the team, Yossi on the team, why in the world would you pay both Alex Carrier and Dante Fabbro to be on the team? Particularly right now in Fabbro's case, where I think his qualifying offer would be what it is right now, which is like $2.1 million to play third-pairing minutes. And
you paid for Lozon.
At times be a healthy scratch. So are you going to wait to not pay him and like trade his rights this offseason? Or could you look around at the deadline and say, all right, well, we feel pretty good about our decor. I think McEwen and Gravel, when they called him up, have been fine. Maybe at some point Borowiecki gets back in there. Like, do you feel good enough about your decor if you're the Predators where you look around and you say, all right, well, what could we get for Dante Fabbro? Like, could there be a forward out there that's in a similar situation where not paying him a whole lot of money, they've got young talent, and a team needs a defenseman. Like, could you make a swap for Dante Fabbro and a young forward out there? I don't know. But, like, to me, you got to figure something out there because there's no way that both of them are going to be on the team next year. I just can't see that path.
Yeah, that all makes sense. And you have to assume someone out there would look at Fabbro and think, okay, you know, there's something to work with there. You know, sort of like, I guess you hoped no one would think that way when you put Tolvin on the waivers. But both of those guys going into the year, I thought, you know, both of those guys could be not long for here, one way or the other. And if it worked out well for the Preds, could be not long for here and could fetch something.
Yeah.
Well, we know one of them didn't, but maybe Fabbro could.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I don't think his value is very high in terms of, like, you're not getting back a premium pick for him or anything like that. But he is a young defenseman that's played a lot of games, and I think it's pretty clear, like, he's not going to be in the top four here. He's not. I think right now, if you're the Predators, you would probably rather pay Carrier at this point than you would Fabbro. So you're not going to pay him to be a third-pairing defenseman next year at this money. It just doesn't make any sense. So I would not be surprised if Fabbro gets flipped at some point before the deadline. I've not heard anything on that. It just, looking logically at the situation, it makes too much sense to try to address that. And, you know, Frank Saravalli came out with a I guess, a report slash a rumor a couple weeks ago about Ekholm and what that
Ekholm
was going to look
season.
Like. Well, all of a sudden, ever since then, apparently all they need to do is like start floating out rumors about trading Matias Ekholm, because whenever that happens, they just go on a roll, and they just start winning games after that. And that's what they've done since then.
Yeah. 2 out of 3 years, that's what's happened. That's what's interesting, too. We'll see. You know, we'll see if this can be sustained. No idea if it will. But this season is somewhat emulating the season of 2 years ago, whereas last season was the reverse.
Yeah, it is.
There were no Ekholm rumors, so.
Yeah. Well, and as Seth points out on the text line, says, just as in the past 3 years, they should sell even semi-valuable assets for something, Fabro, Granlund, et cetera, but they won't. I mean, a lot of people that I've heard from say, by the way, Billy from Bellevue on the text line says, trade Fabro for Tolvanen. That'd be something.
Nice. Text line's funny today.
Text line's on. It's a good one today. But a lot of people say, well, okay, let's say the Predators are in a similar spot they're in right now at the deadline, which, by the way, is not in a playoff spot, but it's pretty close. You're right on the bubble. Would you sell? Like, I think certain teams and certain GMs would give thought to it. They would say, okay, well, could we sell and build for the future, even though we're not that far out of a playoff spot right now? Now, some teams just stand pat. Some teams, every year. Like, if you're, I don't know, Boston, and I know they're not in this situation this year, but they've been in situations in the past where they're either, like, right on the edge of the playoffs or right below the line, and they buy at the deadline because they want to get in and they think that their core can win. Like, that's kind of how I feel like the Predators view themselves of, let's go for it. We got the core. You're paying these guys. They want to win. I'm not saying the Predators are going to buy. I just, if they're even close to the playoffs, there's not really a scenario where I can sense them selling at this point.
Yeah, and you bring up Boston. It's an interesting comparison because the difference is just that their core has just been a higher level core than the Preds core.
No question. And they're –
and they're awfully
unbelievable
good this year.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable what they're doing out there right now. Nate on the text line says, as long as Poile's the GM, the Preds will never sell, no matter the position they're in. Now, I would like to point out, they have sold before.
They have sold.
They have sold at the deadline before, and that is a big reason why Philip Forsberg is currently sitting on the team at the moment. So they have done it before, but to that point, later, I mean, it's one of those things where I just can't really see them doing that at this time.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So if you move Fabro for a comparable forward, what is it? What's the way to characterize that?
I don't know. I mean,
I guess it's standing pat.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Let's real quickly. We just lost John Hines. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's go to the break. We'll have the Red Rant coming up next. We'll try to reconnect with John Hines a little bit later in the show. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
She can be fiery when you make her mad.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
It's Michelle's turn for the Red Rant.
Look, you can't pull me out of this right now.
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Red Rant. Here on Robbie and Rex Road. Michelle Knezvik taking the wheel today. I love it. You check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Michelle, I turn things. Well, we'll get to Michelle here in just a second. Got to answer the phone real quick. We'll get back to it.
the reality of the Red Rant.
I will say that she has laid the groundwork for this pretty well. I'm really interested to see what happens here today.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, is Michelle Perry, does that nickname no longer apply?
I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah.
I sense some uneasiness from Michelle when it comes to the state of Kentucky athletics right now.
I do, too. I sense an interesting phone conversation happening right now, too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, do you have a rant?
I'm here. Hey, I am back, ladies and gentlemen.
You all right over there?
Yep, all good, all good. So, I have teased this rant just a little bit, and we all know, you guys all know, people who know me know that there's really one thing when it comes to the sports world that just gets me really, really fired up, right? Really like red brand, fired up. And that is Kentucky sports. Kentucky athletics, University of Kentucky, the entire athletic department as a whole. Specifically, you know, it ranks basketball, then football. At least football, the silver lining is we're never really that good. Even if you have like a 10-win season here and there, they're sprinkled in here or there. And you know, whenever you guys throw your little shots at me, whether it was last year or this year, I've always, you know, just, I will defend them through thick, through thin, but I'm over it. I am so done. Well, listen, we'll see in a couple months. But to preface this, if people haven't watched college basketball this year, or if you are one of the people who fall in, I don't care about college basketball until March, don't worry, I will refresh your memory real quick. But if you have watched, I'm sure you're aware of how sucky this Kentucky team has been. And if we bring up, you know, the last couple of seasons, that this team has just been a complete, utter disaster and enormous disappointment. I'm in rare form right now, guys, because you never hear me talk about this. I'm doing this because in a couple of days, 2 days to be exact, there's a game that will be happening in Knoxville. And I just want to tell all fans, I'm aware of where this basketball program is at. So I do not need tweets at me. I do not need texts on the text line after the game on Saturday, because they will probably lose by a lot. And by a lot, I mean probably 20 plus points. Okay? So I got that. But my rant is specifically focused on the Kentucky basketball program. With Chris Beard out at Texas, I think it is time for Calipari to move on.
Wow.
Was talking to my brother last night. My brother's a college basketball coach for a D3 college, Oberlin. He's always my, gets me level-headed about this program. Him and my stepdad, Dan. Dan called me the other night at about 11 p.m. Eastern time. I'm sleeping already because of the show. And he's like, Calipari's got to go to Texas. You got to get him out of there. And I'm like, no, stop. I'm sleeping. And now as a couple days have gone by, I texted my brother last night. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, the South Carolina loss really sunk in. They're, like, the last in KenPom for offense. A home game. And, like, the stat of, like, the last time they've won in Rupp Arena. I can't even. And I was talking to my brother, and he was like, yeah, like, Cal to Texas. And I'm like, okay, I think I actually could maybe get on that. Because if you look at the last 2 years, first off, we all know they lost to St. Peter's last year with literally the national player of the year. Unacceptable. The year before, so that would have, didn't make the tournament. Year before that, COVID year, 2019, that also was a disappointing year as well. Haven't made the Final Four since 2015, the year before I got to Kentucky, which is just so annoying in itself. Then you
also
you,
depressing.
You bring a, you know, a new coaching staff in with Orlando Antigua, Chin Coleman from Illinois. And it just hasn't been working. Like, not working. This team is probably one of the most talented teams in the country, is one of the most talented teams in the country as far as individual players. But, you know, you always prided yourself on being able to take 4 or 5 new freshmen every year and being able to get them to play together. And, I mean, the years I was there, even making the Sweet 16 Elite Eight with guys like Tyler Herro, Bam Adebayo, like all those guys, one and dones. Now you're getting transfer portals. You don't have it anymore. Something's not working. And I know the fan base at Kentucky is very, very frustrated, me being one of them. So I think you should go to Texas. Okay, so let's say that happens. The people that I would like to see be the new coach
of
the University of Kentucky.
The Red Rant is hiring the new Kentucky coach.
Fantastic. Okay. So first on my list, had a nice chat with my brother like I said, keeps me level-headed. We got a list of people. The first person who I thought would be an option, which I would hate because I have hated playing against him, but I wouldn't mind if he was Kentucky's coach, is Bruce Pearl.
Here we go.
He would be doing the little SEC. I know he just got a huge contract from Auburn, but, I mean, he would take the job. Of course he would. Him. Yes. I actually wouldn't mind if he was Kentucky's coach because he's been doing very well lately. Second.
Please keep going. This is the greatest thing ever.
Secondly, I need Jay Wright to get out of retirement and come back to coach. Jay Wright, listen, we all know what he did at Villanova. I actually think people didn't realize how great of a coach he was until he said he was stepping down and people were like, wow, he's won this many national championships. And it's like, yeah, he always had Villanova in the conversation. Okay, third, this one, little iffy about, but Chicago Bulls coach Billy Donovan, two-time national championship winner at Florida, maybe wants to come back to college, obviously has done better in the college world. The Bulls, that's another topic for another day. So those are my three coaches, and I would like to see nobody other than those three. So in my head, it's already happening. I jumped off the Kentucky football boat after they lost to Ole Miss because I knew that I was just done. And you all knew that. I have stuck with them through a lot. Through a lot. And I'm over it. Cal, jump to Texas. You'll get more money and it'll be less expectations. Give us Jay Wright. I would take Bruce Pearl, Billy Donovan. Somebody threw out Rick Pitino as an option. No. He gives me major PTSD. We are not even entertaining that. And then somebody also threw out there Matt Painter of Purdue, potentially. But that is my submission to Mitch Barnhart, if he's listening, the AD at Kentucky. Let's make it happen. Cal, you get more money. Go down to Texas. It's warmer down there. Austin, cool city. Also, less expectations. You know, just keep doing your thing and ride off into the sunset. So there is my red rant for the day.
No Nate Oates?
Oh, yeah, no Nate Oates or Musselman. Those, I think, too, would have, you know, an option to be on the interview list. Musselman.
Rick Barnes didn't make the cut?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Listen, he can stay. He can stay Tennessee. They've been doing fine. But, yeah, Musselman and Nate Oates, they also are on the list. I've got the list to the left of me. But no on Pitino. Great coach, but just no. It's just not happening. That's like an ex-boyfriend who was just extremely toxic. And then 3 years later, it's like, oh, like, maybe they've changed. No, Rick Pitino, you've not changed. We don't want you. So Jay Wright, he's going to be number one. Bruce Pearl would be a spicy second. And then third, fourth, fifth. Kind of all tied. Billy Donovan, Musselman, and Nate Oates.
Wow. Justin says, doesn't sound very through thick and thin to me, Michelle.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. Listen, I don't want to hear that. And plus, the amount of crap I get of people who don't even watch the games, also big pet peeve. When you don't even watch the games and people are tweeting at you and I'm like, okay, tell me what happened in the game. And they're like, Kentucky sucks. Or just people tweeting, what's happening to Kentucky? I'm like, did you watch the game? No. You didn't, so I don't want
to
hear it.
I need them to win Saturday now.
I'll be on Monday, I'll be like, I love them!
You're all right with me,
I mean,
Cal.
Look, I've been telling people Cal's overrated for 7 years, so this is music to my ear. I love it. I've been trying to tell people this for a long time.
I feel a lot.
Not that good.
I feel a lot better now, guys. I really do.
I'd like to know, like, seriously, what percentage of the Kentucky fan base right now is resolved that Cal has to go?
I think...
People are.
I think it's a lot.
Yeah.
People are mad.
I mean, I haven't been in Lexington in a while or been to Lexington in a while, but I've kind of, you know, followed tweets and stuff like that. But, I mean, we saw a fan literally bring a sign that said, go to Texas. I mean, there are some people who just think, oh, well, it's early in the season, you know. They'll figure it out in March. But, I mean, maybe they figure it out this weekend. But let's get going, because at this rate, we're not even making the tournament, and I will not be on this show at all in March if that happens. So, Chase, I hope you're listening.
I got your red rant has drawn the attention of
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Mr. Twitterless over here. He's telling you, well, first of all, don't kind of pearl. That's a little. But also, what about the name Scott Drew?
Hey.
That name we can throw in there.
Okay,
I will say far number one is we just got to convince Jay Wright to come out of retirement. I'm not sure how likely that'll be, but.
I don't know that Jay Wright wants to be in the Kentucky.
Yes. He does. He does.
Waters.
He does.
We'll see.
People would love him. Listen, Jay Wright, I
love that we fired Cal.
Times are a changing on this program.
This is all I asked from Jay Wright. Jay Wright, just give us 5 years, two natties in there, and then like right off into the sunset, go have your career, college basketball broadcaster. That's all I asked for.
Joe?
There come on, go. It's not too much to ask for.
Should they fire John Calipari?
Give an unbiased opinion.
I wouldn't fire him. I think I could see
Joe?
This. I wouldn't fire him.
Because you still want to make fun of me.
No, I mean, I wouldn't fire him right now. I'm going to wait and see how this season plays out. If they totally nosedive, don't make the tournament, then it's like, kind of like J-Rob. Like, let's wait and see.
But we've waited and seen for – this has been a couple years now.
Sure. I mean, it's been disappointing. I mean, I agree. But you can always – there's always like the careful what you wish for thing. These wish lists sound great, but I think that there's – you know, I think Kentucky's – for some people, scares some people away, too, you know?
Well, yeah, the expectations are high.
Bob says Shaka Smart. You know, Shaka Smart doing pretty well at Marquette. Dan just beat UConn last night.
Dan from Clifton Park. Shout out, Dan. Kentucky fans would pack his bags and drive him to the airport.
Yeah.
Yes. That's probably true.
That's our Dan, right?
Yeah, that's our Dan.
Yes.
Donnie Tindall.
Bye, Cal.
See ya. Peace.
Donnie Tindall.
Donnie Tindall in there?
Why does he never get mentioned?
Yeah, why not? 615-737-1025. This has been the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. Coming up next.
Real fast. If they fired him, they'd owe him $39.75 million. So
that's fine.
They won't fire him.
No, they will.
They got money.
Jimbo's getting fired too soon. $90 million.
Fire me
put
for that.
615-737-1025.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That is next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do. Thank you. FanDuel Sportsbook, which, by the way, is my official sportsbook. It's also the nation's number one sportsbook. And it's an exciting week for FanDuel Sportsbook because, of course, it's wild card week, folks. And if you bet NFL same game parlays from now through January 16th, so you got four more days, all customers get up to $100 in free bets, win or lose. All you got to do is place a total of $20 or more on NFL same game parlay or same game parlay plus bets during the wildcard round. The more you bet, the more you get back in free bets. NFL same game parlay is, of course, a perfect way to combine those bets for a chance at a larger payday. I'll go again to Ravens-Bengals. With the Lamar Jackson news, it's an unfortunate thing for, I think, fans who wanted a good game. But I like the Bengals big in this game. I like the under big in this game because the Ravens will hang around with their defense. And you know, I'll do it. How about a Ja'Marr Chase anytime touchdown? I'll do that one on that game. Build your own or choose one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. If you're new, you can get also $100 in free bets win or lose when you sign up with promo code Joe102. Again, promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You got to be 21 or older in present Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.